Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. I'm Chris Wilmerding, your host. The show is a series of conversations with business owners about their beliefs and values and which beliefs and values they want to share with the next generation. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply wait until the end of this 20-minute segment and we'll provide a link. Simply sign in at that point and we'll be in touch with more information. Now, let's get on with the show. Hi, I'm Chris Wilmerding, host of Legacy Podcast, here with Paul Diehl, also co-host of Legacy Podcast. And today's guest is Brianna Carney, who is co-founder and of a company called CrewBloom.com. Brianna, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Welcome, Brianna.
Thanks, guys. It's truly my pleasure to be on and share with you and your subscribers.
Great. So, So the topic today is legacy, right? And it's the why behind what people do, which at least Paul and I find super, super exciting and interesting to learn about, especially with successful entrepreneurs like yourself. Let's start with a really tough question. Tell us about your business.
CrewBloom, I was fortunate enough to incorporate alongside my co-founder, Caitlin Coden. We're differentiating the outsourcing model. So finding the top 2% of globally sourced professionals and connecting them with remote opportunities here on shore in the US, primarily focused on sales and support.
Great. So it sounds like it's really focused heavily on quality over quantity.
Correct. Yep. Absolutely.
Excellent. And how long have you been around?
Almost tier five.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
You say with a sigh, but you also got through, here we are halfway through the pandemic. So that must've been an interesting, or maybe all the way through the pandemic, who the heck knows at this point, but that must've been challenging for you.
It was. I think that I need to be really cautious. Speaking as a straight Caucasian upper middle class person, that COVID was a benefit to us. But I think having a remote work model in place proved to be a pretty good strategy for us. And unfortunately, just seeing the impact it's had on humanity has been pretty hard on a spiritual level.
Yeah, it's tough. It's been tough on so many people, arguably almost everybody. A lot of successful folks like yourself can point to a specific point in time or maybe a story that put them on their current path of success. What's the story for you?
Yeah, so I think that there were some significant, intersections in the business, all of them kind of coming back to some challenges and speed bumps that we encountered, some more technical ones in terms of the product that we built. My co-founder and I built up a product to kind of automate the onboarding and HR element of the business. We teed up for evaluation and learned that we built that product in the wrong language. And so we had to scrap 9 months of code. And it was really, really a tough pill to swallow, but it really allowed my co-founder and I to button up and to make better technical decisions. And I think we just kind of leveled up at that point and really it was all or nothing. I think that COVID as well has been a turning point, in particular on the inbounds and technical marketing side, because we had a remote work model since inception, which I'm thankful for today.
Yeah. So are you both on the technical side or do you split your duties? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So we're both technically non-technical, becoming technical.
That's why I like you, Brianna. I'm that way too. Paul's way too technical.
A process, but we both take ownership of overseeing the product team.
Yeah, great. All right. So I guess maybe we know the answer, but you just never know. What's the one thing you see that your business does better than 95% of your competition?
Yeah, so I think the call center by and large has not been a human-centric I guess, industry. They haven't valued the human capital that's kind of running their processes. I think the cultural element has been lacking. I think that the majority of call center talent would say they don't love showing up to work every day, and I hope that's something we're doing better at. Obviously, it's always something we're working to improve on, but I think that we have a mantra that we say at the end of our monthly town hall meetings where we find the best remote professionals who love showing up to work every day. And it is a really important piece of the puzzle for us.
So how do you screen for that? I mean, that's probably the secret sauce, but at least at a high level, how do you approach that?
Yeah, so I think that our recruitment model and the way we've structured recruitment allows us to find talent and not source only based on hard skills, but soft skills and our value alignment as well. So finding folks that are really eager and energetic to contribute to an organization and understand our value and our mission.
Well, that kind of touches on one of Paul's and my favorite questions, which is, because you mentioned values and that kind of thing, why is money important to you?
Interesting. So I think that money is important because as humans, I believe we have, there's basic human rights, right? So for me, as an individual who has type 1 diabetes and who needs to feed myself and to make sure that I'm sheltered, it's one thing. But when we look at individuals who are not so fortunate as myself to have their basic human rights met, we could look at money as being used as fuel to better all of humanity. And so I think that we can use money in a way that's not greedy, but however, looks out for what's best for all of humanity. And so I think that that's why it's significant and plays a role in all of our lives today.
So it's the betterment. It's a tool for the betterment of your fellow human beings.
Correct.
Oh. What was your best business decision that you've ever made?
My co-founder.
How did you find your co-founder?
Yeah, so she was our first hire. Kate was onboarded in almost like a serendipitous way. Like, I'm not an extremely religious person, but I believe if the higher powers just gave me one competitive advantage in life, it would just be putting that Craigslist ad out at that time and have her be the first one to apply. Kate just kind of proved this hypothesis that I had that, like, in fact, it doesn't matter where we're from. It really is irrelevant. There's top performers in Paris and New York and Kenya and Tokyo, and we're all just human beings. And so, yeah, she's just ridiculously better than I am. She's just so great, and I'm really lucky to build something with her every day.
What a wonderful way to describe your colleague, your partner. And so when you say she's better, this is really a divisive question, but when you say she's better at you in so many ways, what do you mean? Because it kind of gets at why that was your best business decision.
First of all, she's just aspirational, just like the her level of instinct, her ability to really remove emotion from all decisions. She also has a child. She's just became a mom a year ago. So she's literally just superwoman. And of course we've cried together. We've laughed together and has really kind of been through it all together. And I'm really most thankful for her and my team as well. Like, my team is just like, every day I'm just like, how do I get to work alongside folks this smart?
Wow. How lucky. All right. So those are your best decisions. What was your worst?
So we make bad decisions all the time. Like, there's so many, it's so hard to pick, right? It's just like, oh my gosh, like, you can't even, I think that not investing and buttoning up our, contract and agreement out of the gate, was sophomoric and really cost us, quite a bit, just in terms of, not being prepared to kind of go up and play an ante with bigger accounts and brands. And so we corrected that mistake pretty early on, but not as early as I would have liked.
Got it. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes it's so frustrating when you can look back on it and realize that was so correctable, but what a learning experience, I guess.
Right. And they're also valuable, but, yeah, I think that by and large, just organizations, especially just in the way that we operate as a business, right? Like we're wire transferring funds to 12 markets, and it just puts us at a lot of risk with the IRS and with the companies we're partnering with.
Yeah. So I'm amazed at how busy people are in your role. Successful entrepreneurs are just crazy, crazy busy. I'm sure your partner's the same way, especially with a young child. If I'm just curious, which freedoms would you like more of and why?
Interesting. So I want more time to give to Special Olympics. My athletes, I coach Special Olympics. It means a lot to me. I want more freedom to spend time with my loved ones and to have more connection and deeper connections with them. But to be honest, I'm the luck. I always just say this, like, I'm literally the luckiest girl alive. Like, I'm just like, how did I get so lucky every day? I just like wake up and I'm just like almost on like cloud nine every day. So I think it would be unfair for me to continue to divulge freedoms I'm lacking.
You seem ridiculously content. You've probably never been called that before, but it just seems like that's how you are, how lucky and blessed you are. So, okay, that's the backdrop. Everything is going so well, but what's the one thing you could change in your business today that you think would make the biggest impact?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of things. Like, you get to a certain level in leadership where you have to be really honest with yourself. Because now the livelihood of my team is my responsibility and all of their loved ones. I need to not only ensure that they all have Christmas gifts, their college funds are being adequately valued. And also just, I think that we have to constantly be hungry to improve as entrepreneurs. There's also this acceptance of just being a generalist. At a certain point you have to accept, like, I will never understand the level of code that my team is wrapped. Like, it's impossible, right? I cannot do that. I can never understand technical marketing, but really understanding how to lead folks and find people that are better than myself is important. So, I think that's something I'm really holding myself accountable to and becoming better at, hopefully, fingers crossed, every day.
Yeah.
How do you manage that? Because it's not easy where you're trying to get your hands dirty in everything and trying to figure it out. How did you come up with a script or mantra or whatever it is to stop yourself from trying to dig in the weeds?
Yeah, good question. So, that's just like because there's like this term micromanaging, and you definitely can like effectively micromanage at a certain point. Like, you're like, okay, I can know what's going on with everyone. And then you kind of reach this point where you're just like, I like my team's best. They've got what they're responsible for and they're going to deliver. And so I think trust comes into play. But also just, I think just literally removing yourself from conversations and empowering your teams to deliver on high level decisions and to take ownership and responsibility of doing what's best for the business. Also reinforcing our core values and our commonalities and what those decisions are supposed to be based upon is important.
Well, Brianna, we really love your story. This is interesting stuff. So I guess the real question is, when you think of the word legacy, so you're obviously fairly young and Paul's fairly young. I'm not quite as young as Paul is, unfortunately.
More experience though, Chris, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Yeah. mostly bad experiences, but yes. So when you think of your legacy and the legacy you want to leave behind, what is it? What comes to mind?
Yeah, I think just humans. When you think of, I believe our task and responsibility as humans is to lift the lives of others and to spread good vibrations. And as a leader, I have a competitive advantage because I touch a lot of folks on a daily basis. But anything as small as just going to the bodega and getting a bag of chips and just, you know, just having a friendly smile to people. Like, I really believe that we have a unique opportunity as humans to relate to one another and to really help make everyone's process better as far as we're concerned.
So interesting. You talk about that in terms of just minor activities. A smile might uplift somebody who's having a bad day or whatever, and literally transforming people's lives, because I think you probably do that with your network of, I don't know if you call them partners or employees, or I don't know how you refer to them, but these elite sales folks.
Contractors.
Okay. Yeah. But I imagine that you feel like you make big changes in their lives as well.
I've been pretty lucky along the way. Yeah. I hope that we are thought of. I always say this at the end of everyone's lives, when they're looking back, I prove them is not going to be at the top five, right? It's going to be their loved ones, their people, how many trips they went on, how many times they were able to ride their mountain bike or scuba dive. And that's what matters most. But I'd be really, really blessed and fortunate if they could think of Crew Bloom as the job that they didn't hate showing up to every day, and to have a team of folks that cared about them.
Yeah. What a nice sentiment. So maybe there isn't anything, but I'm curious, do you see, or could you put your finger on what the biggest challenge is here that holds you back from leaving the legacy you just described? I mean, is there anything, or can you put your finger on anything that is holding you back from having a greater impact?
I think, I mean, yeah, when we like we look at my co-founder and I just want to impact the life of as many remote workers as humanly possible. And so I think that, right now we are just focused on continuing to grow and scale the business, and build processes and structures and a foundation that supports that growth. If we do a good job at it, I think we'll be pretty happy with the legacy potential.
Awesome. So one of the questions that Paul and I like to ask, excuse me, is what specific actions or steps can you share with our audience to help them build a lasting and meaningful legacy?
I think like self, just really reflecting and being real to yourself. Like, we have this really unique way of like lying to ourselves. And it's something that I think that courage and setting aside ego can kind of help to overcome. So just courageously sharing your pure true self with the world. I think humans are all just so beautiful and unique, and we're all such signature individuals that I just hope that everyone finds the courage to share their strengths with the world.
It's interesting that you use the word lying, and what a great idea, but you use the word lying, which is so much more frank. And as you were describing that, I thought to myself, well, I rationalize to myself all the time. I'm sure Paul does. I'm sure mm-hmm. you do. And that's just a polite way of saying it.
Yeah.
But we're lying to ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really interesting interview. And Brianna, we're very excited to share it with our audience. Let me just make one quick mention. If you want to be a guest on our show, Legacy Podcast, please go to businesslegacypodcast.com. That's businesslegacypodcast.com, and book your interview there. Brianna Carney, co-founder, crewbloom.com. It's been a great pleasure to have you on our show.
The pleasure is truly mine, Paul. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your podcast with humanity. Yeah.
What a great story.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Business Legacy Show. If you're a thoughtful business owner who would like to be a guest on this program, please visit businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. That's businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. Now, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you do that, tag us with hashtag
Business Legacy Podcast. Again, hashtag Business Legacy Podcast. Each month, we scour Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. We pick one winner from each platform, and you get crowned king or queen of that social media. What do you win? We're going to promote you and your business to our audience of over 150,000 people totally free. Now, can you hook us up in your podcast player right now? Please give us a thumbs up or a rating and a review. We promise to read it all and take action. We believe that a person's legacy is the most important thing someone can leave the next generation, and your feedback helps us fulfill our mission. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button. You know why? Because every week for 15 minutes, you are going to be inspired and motivated to leave a lasting and meaningful legacy. My name is Chris Womerding. Let's connect on the socials. You'll find all the stuff we're doing at businesslegacypodcast.com. Again, businesslegacypodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being part of the Business Legacy Movement.